Bruce Newberry,
the food dude.
You're dining out with the food dude, Bruce Newberry.
In the Dave's Marketplace Broadcast Bistro, brought to you by Gaspar's, the Portuguese sausage the whole world has been enjoying for over 100 years, by Palmer River Grill and Perella's Ristorante. The tastiest talk show this weekend, brought to you by the Wayberry Inn. So cozy, so much great food, so perfect for Valentine's Day. And the cafe at Island Homemade Ice Cream, scoops and soups, cones and coffee on Williston Road at Commerce Street. The golden age of pizza. Who's going to discuss this better than a pizza expert? And I have one of the best pizza spokespeople that I've ever heard. Bill Kitsilis has been in the pizza business with his family for decades and decades and decades, with the legendary Angelo's Palace Pizza in Cumberland, Rhode Island, and a small chain of unique pizza places known as Antonio's by the Slice all over New England. Now, this is a guy who once put out a buffalo tater tot pizza. So you may expect we're going in one direction, but hang on.
I love the business. I grew up in it. My parents worked really, really hard. I learned a lot from it. My sister and I both left and got college degrees. This is about pizza, right? And
yes.
What's the best, what's the best pizza? What do you love about pizza? Why is pizza special? Why is it the golden age of pizza? And I'd always argue that it's always been the golden age. There's something about a neighborhood pizzeria or any pizzeria that, you know, when you move to somewhere new and you try out a new pizza shop, you over time, especially when you have a connection when you're younger, you develop an emotional connection with the location and the product. And that's why I think it's so special, because I love trying different kinds of pizza. And you'll meet people and they'll be like, this is the best pizza you ever had. And it could be a bar pizza, or it could be a Neapolitan pizza at a fancy restaurant or in Rome. And a lot, you can see sometimes why that greatness is there. And other times you're like, I have no idea why these people love this. And the reason why they love it is because of the emotional connection they have with that place. It's more than it kind of transcends the food. And it reminds them of a time when they would go with their family, when certain family members might no longer be around, or a pizza they had when they were in college, like the Antonio's up in Amherst.
Sure.
Those people have, they're out with their friends, they're young, they got the world in front of them. And it's just that emotional connection with that experience and that pizza and that flavor profile that makes it special. And I just don't think that'll ever change.
I think that you're onto it. And, you've really summed it up. Think of the neighborhood pizza place from both sides of the counter. You become a regular. You come in every Thursday or every Friday, and they know what you like. They know what you're going to pick up. They know what time you're going to come in. And you start to relate more and more about your family and your life. Hey, how's school? How's your daughter?
Yeah.
How's your father? Or whatever. And it becomes this extension of the family. And then from there, it's the neighborhood place, and you go there with a date, or whatever it is. And that transcends whether it's the standalone one-of-a-kind pizza place or the local pizza shop that happens to be part of a larger chain, because the local people are still there.
Yeah, it's that. You're right. You're right. And, it's kind of funny. And that was, something where we went from my one family restaurant pizzeria. We've had it since 1978. And I got involved with some other friends of mine and opened up some other pizzerias. The concern was, is how do we deliver on that experience? And what we realized is, if you can empower your team to become kind of like, I always joke that the general manager needs to be kind of the mayor of the town in that pizzeria.
Yes.
And if they become the mayor, then it's a successful operation, because that energy and that mindset of, take care of your constituency, so to speak, kind of transcends all the way from the dishwasher up to the general manager. So
And that's where it jumps off and becomes so natural to support the little league team, the gymnastics team.
It's a no-brainer.
Yes. Like,
it's a no-brainer. So
becomes part of the neighborhood. And then, like a good neighbor.
And it's so funny how sometimes just a $25 gift card or a $50 gift card, how appreciative people are of that. Because we get asked by so many organizations about so much. There's a couple of certain ones that we, you know, pick every year, but we always give something, no matter how small or how big the organization is, because we feel that connection to the community. And it's like, you know, it's a win-win. The community takes care of you. Like I think we really saw that during COVID.
Yes.
Where the restaurant, even though we were takeout and delivery, people were there rooting for us.
Yes.
And we were also there providing them something besides, you know, a little bit of escape, even though it was a pickup or a takeout or delivery order, to get something made for you. So, and then it was just, you know, and then we were cooking meals and bringing pizzas, donating pizzas to the local hospital staff all the time, because, you know, we knew how burnt out they were. And
there you go.
Just, I don't know, something about getting a pizza, something about getting a free slice or a free pizza. Just, I don't know what it is. Like, it's almost better than, you know.
It lifts the spirits. You're 100%.
Yeah, it does. It lifts the spirits.
And the rest of the world found out that what you call the mayor of the town dynamic during COVID and wouldn't let it go, and realized how important the neighborhood pizza place, the neighborhood cafe, coffee shop, restaurant was to life, and wasn't going to let it go. And it's been like that through any kind of time of trouble. If you think of a bad time, we've gone through some terrible weather things recently, and there's been economic things and disasters and so on and so forth. The first person there is the local restaurateur, oftentimes the pizza place or the place that can show up with coffee or something for the first responders or the victims or whoever. That mayor of the town, that I'm here for you, how can we help? And you help by feeding somebody, getting them warm, getting them something nourishing.
Absolutely.
And they feel better, and then they can start to think and function. 100%.
So I know that at Angel's Pizza in Cumberland over the years, we always, like back in the day when it was just deck ovens and it had a self-vented hood, you know, my mom and dad would stay open even in snowstorms, and it would just be them or power outages, because all we needed was gas in the hood so we could make pizza. So all the first responders or telephone line workers or electric line workers would know that they could come there. And we kind of have kept that tradition on. And it's kind of funny, like I'll get direct texts from linemen on the lines and saying, can you guys stay open for us? Do you guys mind if we come in? Can we open? And
wow.
Well, yeah. So we've had that relationship. And a lot of times that involves, you know, we'll have a couple, we send messages out. We'll be like, we're closed because of like some disaster. And then I'll sneak to the restaurant, and like two of my team members will be in there and be like, well, we had nothing to do. So, you know, we'll open and maybe just sell just pizza or cold subs, because we can't, you know, run a full menu in that instance. But, you know, I don't know. We take a lot of pride in being open for those periods of time. Like conditions might be so bad where we can't offer delivery or whatever. And it's really made for kind of what I would call first respondents. And in that instance, you know, not just police, fire, but like the electrical line repair guys, they got nowhere to eat, you know, and they're working 18-hour shifts in those emergencies. So, you know, I don't know, like that's all part of it. I can't explain it.
It is.
Like, that was kind of ingrained in us.
No, you're so right. And I hadn't even thought about that when I wanted to talk to you about this being the golden age of pizza, but I think that it's an important aspect of it. And I don't think that you have the relationship and the affection and the passion that people have about pizza without that. Bill Kitsilis, pizza expert.
Food dude Bruce Newberry.
The cafe at Island Homemade Ice Cream Scoop Shop now has coffee, donuts, grilled cheese, and soup. Don't worry, you can still get ice cream any time of day. The cafe at Island Homemade Ice Cream Scoop Shop opens 7 to 7 at 21 Commerce Street in Williston.
The golden age of pizza. Bill Kitsilis, if we were to talk about pizza style. Your Angelo's, of course, is known for just amazing straight-ahead pizza, and it's always wins the contest, and it's so popular and everything. Antonio's is so interesting because the styles and the favorite flavors and toppings change. And there's always something new to try, and people love that too.
It's a very dynamic concept and pizza. It's a New York style pizza.
Right.
So it, you know, high moisture content, thinner crust, got to cook it on a stone to make sure you get that, the heat, so you can get the kind of a solid slice. And you're right. We always say that Antonio's pizza is New York style pizza, taken to the next level. And it's just so many different combinations. It's like a taste, you name it, we have it.
Yeah.
And we really encourage the staff to be creative. I know at like my Pawtucket location, you know, the guys come up with we do a special of the week. They come up with it, you know, sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's not, but it's, you only do trial and error.
What's been one that you didn't think was going to work that turned out to be a big hit? Can you think of one?
The tater tot pizza, the Buffalo tater tot pizza. I was like, I liked the idea of it, but I was like, who wants to eat a tater tot with buffalo sauce and scallions on top of a pizza? It sells like crazy. It's funny though, in certain locations, it doesn't. It depends on the customer that's there, you know, and sometimes the age group makes a difference on the pizza.
I'm going to try that one out on my two so-called pizza experts.
Pizzas that were, you know, I heard the best line ever. I remember a Pawtucket location. This woman comes in during the middle of the day, older woman. I want to say she was in her late early 80s, and she's with her grandchildren. And they're probably about 8 or 10 years old, and it was two boys. And they were struggling on all the choices, going back and forth over and over. They were debating amongst themselves, well, if I get this, I can't get this, I can't get that. And the grandmother goes, hey, just pick a slice of pizza. You're not picking a bride. And I was just like laughing. Like, come on. Like, this isn't your future wife. Just get one. If you don't like it, you can get another one.
Don't minimize the importance of the pizza decision, though.
Well, I mean, just laughing, but I was watching these young kids negotiating whether they should get a chicken, you know, chicken bacon ranch or just cheese or pepperoni. So then I finally went up to them, like, why don't you guys grab three slices? We'll cut them in half and you can have a little bit of each. And the grandmother was like, there you go.
Nice. I mean, we're coming up on the day when the pizza choice could be essential. I mean, it could be on the level of picking a bride, Bill. We're coming up on Super Bowl day. So the pizza choices are not to be just tossed off. You know, these are important choices.
Well, you want to hear what's something amazing? Super Bowl, probably for the last 10 years, is no longer the busiest pizza day of the year. For us, it's Halloween.
I was going to ask that. I've heard that and read that number one and number two are kind of tied, New Year's Eve and Halloween.
Yep. Yeah, New Year's Eve is definitely up there. Halloween's intense. It's also comes in early because all the parents are trying to get a pizza and the kids before they hit the road trick-or-treating.
True.
Right? So it comes in faster and harder. And Super Bowl, I think what happens is people decide that they're going to make their own their buffalo dip or their cheese dip or their, and so what happens is pizza ends up being an add-on, mm-hmm. not the main event. So, and a lot of people have made cooking at home, it's ironically on Super Bowl Sunday because they're having parties or events. And so they'll order two pies just to have pizza there. So we're still there, but we're not, I don't think it's the main course anymore on Super Bowl Sunday for most people. And I think it's because of the nature, Super Bowl has become such a big event that, you know, non-football fans are at Super Bowl parties.
Oh, absolutely. Right? It is the number one or number two holiday to eat at home.
So
it vies with kind of Thanksgiving. Funny.
That was not the case in the 80s or 90s. I think, you know, it just changed.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I don't know when it changed. It was in the last decade, two decades, I think. I think in the 00s, I think it really started.
Well, if you talk to Frank Galishaw from Wright's Chicken Farm, he's probably the only guy that's happy that Tom Brady left the Patriots, because he says ever since Tom Brady went there, his Sundays dropped half in sales.
during the Brady years, Wright farmed the the chickens. The ones that were happy about it were the chickens, though.
Yeah, they were the only ones.
That's a great point.
So it was like when the Patriots were terrible, I couldn't, you know, you couldn't get a seat in my place.
You couldn't get a seat in the place. The dynasty starts and no one wants to go out for chicken dinner on Sunday afternoon.
Well, it's true. Well, we actually noticed it too. We got busier with takeout. We got busier with takeout, but lost our dining room business when the Patriots play. And it's kind of, you know, you just adapt and change to it. So it's, you know, I was fortunate for I have a takeout and delivery business. And so we'll get really busy when the Patriots play, but it's not dine-in. It's all takeout and delivery, you know.
Now, you're located in a bunch of different places. I mean, your Angelo's is right there. It's the Palace. It's right there in the middle of Cumberland, Rhode Island. But you've got Antonio's locations that are near college campuses, in college towns, Worcester, Amherst, Newport,
correct,
Rhode Island, even Pawtucket. What about the college pizza customer these days? Has that changed?
No, they still get drunk and want to eat pizza. Excellent. So we're lucky that hasn't changed.
It was ever thus.
What's the irony with the college spots, like even Thayer, even East Ave in Pawtucket, which is, you know, on Hope Street, is they still are neighborhood spots. It's just the college kids add that extra dimension when they're in season. And in fact, Thayer Street's actually busier in the summer with overall than it is during the year. And I think what happens is once you capture the hearts and minds of kind of the local community, you still get that local crowd. And then the college kids are just the cream on top, if that makes any sense.
It does.
So it's like, cause you gotta remember the faculty, the professors, they live in the area. True. and they have their families in the area, and you build off of them and then the locals. And if you have a good product and good service, and you're going to get customers. And what saved us during COVID was the fact that we were local neighborhood spots at each one of our locations. We didn't have any of those office park dependent locations. So we were just lucky. It wasn't, trust me, we didn't plan it.
Sure.
We didn't know. It was just dumb luck.
Well, I think you had a legacy, and I think that you, for the reasons that we were discussing, I think that people realized and recognized how important a part of the neighborhood and the community in their lives you really were. Let me go back to a pizza style question for a minute. Is there one of the up-and-coming pizza styles that you're taking a look at these days? Detroit, Grandma, Gas Station, Neapolitan, any of those latest and greatest that you're taking a look at these days?
We're actually going to, like, we're looking at a different location with a kind of a spinoff in Cranston. And we're actually looking at doing a New York style and a Detroit style there. So yes, we are. We do experiment all the time with the different crusts and doughs on the concepts. And we are excited about Detroit. I think we just like the feel of it, the flavor profile on it, the crispiness of it. And that's what's exciting about pizza. It's always changing. Neapolitan, if I had, you know, the right setup at the right place, I think when you eat that out of an oven, if it's done right, is one of the best pizzas to have.
Yeah.
But it's so fickle. It's so high in moisture content. And if you don't eat that within the first 5 minutes, it loses it.
Great point.
And when people are so used to takeout and delivery, in fact, who's the guy? Pasquale's.
Oh, yes. Down in Wakefield. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not allowed to take his Neapolitan to go.
I've heard that.
Well, because he's smart. He knows that product degrades so quickly. I mean, he's a real pizza guy, right?
Absolutely.
He knows that product degrades so quickly that, you know, if you don't know the business or understand the product and you get that home, you're going to be like, what is this? And that, now you stop bad-mouthing the plate.
You raise a point about the sophistication and the education level of the pizza guest and the customer. Pasquale is the real deal. He's gone to the school, and he is what is going on, and his place is one of the top pizzerias in the country. Just came out in a survey. And come to think of it, I've not had his pizza outside of his pizzeria. So I guess I'm...
Yeah, no. And that's a home field advantage. Sure. We know, like, one of the challenges, you know, if you want to just be honest about it, like, if you look at any pizzeria and you look at their negative reviews, their negative reviews, I guarantee you, not just random pizza place, 9 out of 10 of them will be because of something with delivery. Food was cold.
Oh, sure.
It was soggy. And that's the challenge with delivery. You know what I mean? Like, it's the more finicky your pizza is, less substantial it is on delivery.
Absolutely.
Pan pizza, which is a New England staple, does very well on delivery.
Well, sure.
So that's great. But that's a different style of pizza. I always say, like, pan pizza is like a great hearty pizza. People are used to it. People like it. But it does really well on delivery and takeout. But it's never going to win the best pizza award. You know what I mean? Like, it just never does.
It
doesn't go to that next sophistication level, but travels well.
How about the,
and it's consistent.
How about the Rhode Island only party pizza?
Well, that, I still don't even know how that works.
I just found out that is a big hit and it is a staple in Montreal. Now we're heard.
I know.
We're heard in Montreal.
My daughter loves it. My daughter loves it. It sits down at room temperature for hours.
Yes.
You bring it home, you can leave it on the counter and still eat it and nothing happens
for
to
days.
You. Like, I'm amazed by that.
And it wouldn't be a party without it.
And there's no cheese on it. You could sprinkle a little Parmesan on it, but it tastes fantastic.
It's amazing. It is truly amazing.
I always say, like, we're tough on standards, but we try to be easy on people.
Sure.
And it's a balancing act because, you know, you have to hold people accountable. It's not always the most enjoyable thing to do. And a lot of people see that. But, you know, these are small independent operations, and every interaction with the guest matters, and it's hard. People aren't, your customers aren't easy anymore,
but you just have to
acknowledge that and then be ready to make sure you're taking care of them. So it's a very humbling experience. I think I almost feel like anyone that wants to be successful in life should have a job or two in the restaurant business, because it allows you to see how hard the work is, what hard work is. And then also kind of the rewarding nature of in the restaurant business for a lot of kids in their first job. A lot of times, you know, when you're younger, the focus is kind of on you, right? Like, it's all about you. And then I think when you get your first job, especially in the restaurant business, you realize it's not about you. It's about everybody else.
You realize there's a world out there and it doesn't revolve around you and people. And not only that, but you have to be able to transfer that and make your guest on the other side of that counter feel like the world is about them.
That's the irony of it. It's not all, you got to make it all about them. And that's our heart. And people do, you know. What is it? The sweetest sound to one person's ears is the sound of their own name.
Right. All right. So now, talking about controversy and reviews and things. All right. Where are you and where are your customers on pineapple on pizza?
I mean, we've been doing ham and pineapple on our pizza for forever. So, I mean, that was I always laugh. So I have the old menu board from my parents from 1978 in our office, right? And I look at the pizza, and the first add, it was like, you know, cheese, pepperoni, onion was separate, pepper was second, and then onion and pepper was like a big deal. And then you had like the house special or pepper, onion, and mushroom, right? Like, those are like the and pepperoni and mushroom were it. And then there's a little add-on. You could tell they went to the sign guy and they added. And the first add-on, which is probably around 84, 85, I'm guessing, was the Hawaiian. So we've been doing it since around 84, 85, and I laugh at that sign because people thought that was so innovative to put on a pineapple and sliced ham on a pizza, you know? So, look, we put, you know, tortellini pesto on our slices. We, you know, like, I'm involved with, you know, pushing the envelope on what you put on a slice. So I think pineapple and ham on a pizza is kind of simple.
I gotcha. Well, hey, you know, once you've gone beyond and gone to the land of tortellini pesto on a pizza,
yeah.
not to mention the buffalo tater tots, that is one I have to try for sure.
That's a good one. We run that as a special. But
I love it.
So I just, I don't know. I think pineapple, you know, you could throw a little barbecue sauce on a pineapple pizza. Like there's so much you can do with the pineapple as well. So
I got you. I'm in your corner, Bill Katsilas. I'm with you. So great to talk to you. Tell us all of your locations.
I got the, got the Angel's Palace Pizza in Cumberland, Antonio's Pizza by the Slice in Worcester, Belchertown, and one on East Ave. And those are the ones I'm involved in, and they do great. But any of the Antonio's pizzas are fantastic. The Wickeden Street location should be opening up soon.
Nice. In Providence. One on Fair. That's great.
Yep. So.
And in Newport, Rhode Island, happening. Of course.
Newport, of course. Yep.
Well, great to talk to you, and I could sit here and talk pizza with you all day. I'm so glad to have some time with you, and I'll be in for a slice. Thanks very much for being with us.
You let me know.
One of the best pizza spokespeople that I've ever heard, Bill Katsilas.
Food dude, Bruce Newberry.
Bruce Newberry.
The food dude.